Yes.
Should we start by talking about the elephant's cataract in the room?
Yeah.
Your face looks like it's been completely margarined.
I am suffering from heavy sort of visual grease again. It's come back. I can see that clearly from the video screen that Zoom is presenting of me, of what looks like me, but just sort of swamped in oil. It looks like a heavy fish oil, I'd say, a kind of omega rich, sort of possibly a mackerel oil, I'd say.
Oh, brilliant. In the diet, less good on a Zoom call.
Yeah.
You look like a bit in a movie where someone who's been trapped in a alternative dimension is trying to get through but can't quite.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's trying to tell our hero what they need to do.
Yeah, screaming their way out of the netherworld.
Yes. Sorry about that. This happened before, hasn't it? I want some... Every couple of years or so, I'll try to go viral with a tweet. And a couple of years ago, it was I just sent a photo of lots of cutlery. It was on Christmas Day.
Okay, because you saw there was a gap in the market. What are people not tweeting about?
Exactly. You've got to look for the gaps, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
So I tweeted a photo of lots of cutlery. No, just it was amazing the amount of cutlery I'd produced. Not produced, but had
laid.
I was bashing them out solidly throughout Christmas Day. No, I was cooking Christmas meal. I was cooking the Christmas meal, and there came a point where, I mean, have you ever cooked the Christmas meal? By the way, I think it's good for the. It's a good conversation. There's a heat wave across the United Kingdom. Let's talk about the heaviest, fattiest meal of the year.
For a bit.
Let's talk. Have you ever cooked the Christmas meal, either of you?
I have never cooked the Christmas meal.
Really?
To my great shame. Yeah. I've offered. Yeah. I've offered to assist.
Yeah.
I've always had that offer rejected.
I've cooked it once and it was an absolute disaster.
Not invited back. What? You actually weren't invited back to family Christmas, were you, the next year at all? It was that bad.
It was the pandemic year. So I would have normally gone to a more senior family member's home.
Yeah,
but we were stuck in the flat, and I, you know, put my mind to a piece of beef, which just went hard.
Okay,
and became like a solid, large bullet of beef.
Did you overdo it?
I think I underdid it.
Well, it must be severely underdone to be hard. That's because you didn't defrost it.
Because the next day, I tried to salvage it by just basically boiling it in wine.
Oh, I think we talked about this.
And then it did sort of soften up to an extent and became at least edible, if not fully digestible.
Mm. Yeah. And for quite a long time, that was your solution to all problems, wasn't it? Was boiling things in wine. So it was a year or two ago. I was basically cooking the Christmas meal. It's incredibly stressful. And I was just pulling out cutlery. One of my tells for when I'm stressed is I'll pull out cutlery from cutlery drawers.
You're doing it now.
I'm always doing it throughout the podcast. I have a little felt tablecloth that I place it on, so it doesn't create too much noise, but I will be placing, fish spoons, tongs.
Grape scissors.
All manner of utensils. So during the Christmas, I pulled out every utensil pretty much in the house. I was in my parents' house, the hub of Christmas, and everything was out. So I took a photo of it. So it's quite funny. This is how stressful I, you know, this is how stressful cooking Christmas meal is. Look at all this cutlery I've got out. So in my mind, I'm thinking, you know,
this is it.
This is the big one. I mean, because you do hear about these things, don't you? By the end of the day, we have streamers literally at war with each other to get a piece of this. But all that happened was all that happened was I got a few comments on how greasy my lens was on my phone.
And you only get one shot at the top, don't you?
You do.
If it hadn't been for that greasy lens,
who knows? Certainly wouldn't be talking to you two right now. But it seems to happen again. I've greased up my lens, so I don't know what it is in my... It's one of those things where I'll have to look at my daily routine and see where it happens. But I have a clearly... In fact, I noticed this the other day when I was trying to take a selfie.
With your laptop?
Yeah. It's
have you taken it to a local landmark?
Well, they're called extension cables for a reason, Ben. They're there, they exist. I got myself a beauty.
Those laptop selfie sticks are very expensive as well, aren't they? So that's why you ended up getting one of those pool nets in the end and adapted one of those.
Well, I did take a very greasy selfie. I don't know what it was. I know I have a lot of head grease. We've discussed that before. Mm-hmm. Could be that it's spreading to my devices now. but yeah, I'm looking like, I tell you what I'm looking like. I'm looking like a section of an ABBA video.
You
one of the videos. All we need is three of my heads to be rotating slowly around each other while singing.
Can you hear the drums, Fernando?
Fernando. Can you feel the grease, Fernando? okay, so let me give it a little wipe. And we're back.
Oh, there he is.
Oh, simple as that. And that's why, maybe it's no coincidence that I do carry a microfiber, a series of microfiber towelettes around with me at all times.
Crystal clear, though.
Crystal clear now. Yeah, so what were we talking about? I can't remember.
I think your face.
That was it. It was just my face in the grease.
It's a peculiar one, isn't it? Because we haven't the last episode went out, but we actually recorded that quite a long time ago.
Are we out?
Yes, we recorded the first episode of this series. This is a Pompadour.
This is a Pompadour. Yeah.
And now it's time for Pompadour section. Pompadour.
We recorded it in April, I think.
Yeah, because Ben was about to go on a grand European tour.
Yeah, hang on. You say grand European tour as if I was swanning around, enjoying myself, you know, looking at works of the Renaissance that I could then bring back to my family pile.
Rubbing shoulders with the great and the good of mainland Europe.
Accompanied by a team, you know, a nurse, a translator.
A knight,
a haberdasher,
several seamstresses just making you a trouser du jour.
My personal falconer,
subterranean cartographer,
and a small team of viciously well trained crossbowmen. But no, it was just you, wasn't it? Solo. You went 80s style, didn't you? You went what late 80s, early noughties interrail, is that right?
Late 80s, early noughties.
Yeah, didn't happen in the 90s. The 90s, as I said before, are a complete blank for me. I was having that much of a good time, I don't remember any of them. Literally forgot they happened.
Because you remember, don't you? You remember watching TV.
Oh, Hasselhoff on the wall. Hasselhoff on the wall, Ben. Hasselhoff on the wall. Yeah.
New Year's Eve, 1989, the countdown to midnight, and then your next memory is you're standing in the Millennium Dome shaking hands with Cherie Blair.
That's right. And John Prescott is having to explain what the internet is to me. Yeah. So tell me, Ben. Tell us.
Well, I was in Europe for a number of weeks in order to shore up my support amongst various deposed royal families, Habsburgs, Hohenzollerns.
Reassure them that their time is coming.
Exactly. And to get them all in line behind me for a future coup.
Yeah.
I'm thinking now Austria.
That's the beachhead, is it?
I think so. It's Salzburg first.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just putting down a few markers. Drawing some lines in the sand.
And you're trying to you want to create something, Dan, which is a cross between the Prussian Empire at its height.
Yes.
And contemporary Dubai, isn't it? That's what you want to create. You want to create a kind of... isn't it?
With breakout rooms to rival modern-day Google.
Exactly, yeah. That's.
I want there to be air-conditioned shopping malls from the North Sea to the Mediterranean. Yeah. An unbroken line.
You want a corporate monarchy, I think is how you described it in the past.
Your dream is to be, is that any citizen of Europe should be able to walk from the Baltic to the Mediterranean and always be within eyeshot of a Ryman's.
The place I came that was closest to that dream, I have to say, was Lille, which I didn't like very much.
Your final stop.
Your final stop. Right?
My final stop. I went to Lille in order to get the Eurostar. I wouldn't have gone there otherwise, I don't think. I don't want to be disrespectful to the people of Lille. Mm-hmm. I know you have many listeners in Lille.
What about to the town planners of Lille?
town plans of Lille, you fucked up hard.
Yeah.
It's like a series of dual carriageways and shopping centres just like mushed together. And there were so many branches of the corporate patisserie Paul just everywhere.
It's the
you
Paul
look.
Epicentre. It's the Paul epicentre of the world, isn't
there
it?
There was one point where I could stand and I could see three separate Pauls.
Do they manufacture them in Lille and then export them?
I assumed Paul was like a UK brand, right? I thought it was like Pret-a-Manger or...
Because it's called Paul.
Yeah. It's called the average UK name, isn't it? It's been proved that the average person in the UK is called Paul.
It's the best guess name.
Yeah, it's the median name. It's the best guess name.
Yeah.
So there are loads of Paul. That's sort of disappointing, isn't it?
Well, it is, because you sort of think in France there should be, you know, charming, independent local boulangers on every corner. But they seem, in Lille anyway, they seem to have packed that in and just sort of consolidated it all into the mega corporation, which is Paul.
Maybe they're just thoughtfully preparing you for a return to the UK. Maybe it's a decompression city, and after seeing the miracles and the joys of Europe, you're reminded of dual carriageways and chain patisseries.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even a Westfield. You send us a picture of a Westfield. They needlessly have a Westfield.
That's right.
Just to soften the blow.
I think the key thing, you don't want to lecture our listeners on things like economics and how things work. But if you know, bloody sue me, I know stuff. Yeah. Well, so the way things like Paul work is it's hedge funds, isn't it? So you're looking at a hedge fund situation, which is...
Hang on, is this macroeconomics?
It's actually bigger than that. It's mega crow.
Monster.
It's mega crow. It's mega crow. It's not quite monster crow yet. Right, okay. It's mega crow. So what will have happened was a hedge fund manager, probably called Paul, would have been on holiday in France, would have gone to a boulangerie, and would have gone, I can replicate this. I can monetize this big time. He'd have named it after himself, Paul, because he's... Yeah, that's the level of person we're dealing with. They're not imaginative. These people are, they're parasites. I'm just getting a bit far, isn't it? But the point is, they take ideas. They didn't have ideas themselves. So they could call it Paul. They then replicate exactly the boulangerie, whatever businesses they've seen, and reproduce it all over the world. What I'm wondering is whether there comes a point where you have a sort of tipping point, where the hedge fund imitation products start to take over like a parasite begins to devour the host itself.
The Pauls are coming back through the Channel Tunnel.
You think there's Paul seepage? You think the Pauls that Ben was saying in Lille was overflow from the UK Pauls?
I think it could be. I think that's what might be happening, which I think is quite sad, because you could have been standing at French Paul Zero there, Ben.
So the branches of Paul in Britain have somehow managed to procreate, basically.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? I mean, that's the most obvious answer. In the same way that tomato plants will proliferate around the aperture of a sewage outlet, British Pauls will probably be sprouting around the aperture of the Channel Tunnel. It makes complete sense, yeah.
There must be, right, in a submarine somewhere in the North Atlantic, there must be a plan for what happens if France goes to war with Britain vis-a-vis the Channel Tunnel, right?
There's got to be.
Oh.
They must have thought about that.
I wonder if they have flooding capacity built in for that reason.
Or just send a bunch of twats down it.
Or send a bunch of twats. There's quite a lot of them in the southeast. Probably why they decided to build it there.
Well, basically sort of offboard Kent into the sea.
It's the ultimate deterrent, Ben. We hope we don't have to use it. We pray we will never have to use it, but it's there.
I was trying to think what, you know, I don't want to go on about my holiday because it's boring listening to people talk about holidays. But I was trying to think of what was the one thing I learned, maybe, that I could impart to the listener.
Mm. Okay, we're going straight to the end of the Sex and the City episode.
Yeah. Yeah. This is...
I like this, nice.
Benjamin Bradshaw.
And which are you two?
I'm Cynthia. Every time. Is there a Cynthia?
I think the actor's called Cynthia. Mike is Janet. Doesn't actually appear in any of the TV series.
Too unsexy to get in.
The rejected offstage narrator.
The lesson I learned was that I noticed early on that when you go to a restaurant, it's quite hard to know what to order in general, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if the restaurant has a meal or a dish named after the restaurant.
Ah.
I will always go for it.
So, for example, in Britain, you'll often order the Spaghetti House, for example, which is a... it's a sort of bungalow constructed out of quite, well, quite hard. They have to use, they can't cook the spaghetti for the Spaghetti House. So they have to be quite.
It's hard lasagna sheets.
It's hard lasagna sheets. Built into what is it, kind of A-frame? What is it at the moment?
It's a semi-detached.
Semi-detached. So it will be detached. Yeah. So it will be on one side attached to the Spaghetti House being eaten by the person on the table next to you.
There'll be a family, eating the next one. You can just sit in a ragu bath and relax.
Okay.
What I've realised is this often happens in pizzerias. Mm-hmm. They'll have the normal one, pepperoni. Yeah.
Of course. So just quickly, the Pizza Hut obviously is not as sophisticated as the Spaghetti House. It's a
it's basically a calzone.
It's basically just a calzone with your head as the filling. Sorry, Karen.
So they'll have the Quattro Stagionis, the Quattro Formaggis, the Diavolos, and then they'll have the one they've made it themselves.
Okay, yeah.
And it's always insane. Mm-hmm. It'll be like salmon, pineapple chunks, ground beef.
The little bits of round paper from the inside of a hole puncher. Yeah.
Anchovy tins.
Yeah.
Anchovy heads.
And hailstones.
And basically, I did this a few times, and I came to a realisation of just like, just don't do it. And I would just like to say, if you're in Europe this summer, I would warn you off Pizza Bibliotheca.
Hey, why are you ordering a pizza in a library?
Pizza Andiamo, and finally, Omelette Eggs Mania.
Ooh, is that the last one? A pizza?
It was an omelette.
Okay. So are those all in-house pizzas that you ordered?
Those are all in-house meals that I ordered.
They all sound like kind of food waste bin. It felt like you're eating up their offcuts. Because the local council stopped recycling food waste and they've just tipped it on some dough.
Well, that's what they do with
the pasty Welsh tourists.
That's what they do with a lot of waste that can't be recycled. And that's often what the specials are, I think, in restaurants. Because I think specials is another area which I always find a bit tricky. Well, what one basic rule for me is you always order the thing that the restaurant is specialises in. Is that the opposite of what you've just said?
Well, yeah, because that was my thinking.
That's precisely.
Yeah, that's the exact opposite, isn't it? So look, we present both sides, aren't we? We are. It's part of the bean code of impartiality, isn't it? We have to now represent this side of the argument. Otherwise, we could be banned by Beanstoff, the three bean, the independent three bean regulatory
off bean,
the bean budsman.
For me, you've got to say, for example, what I mean is more that if you go to a pasta restaurant, you order pasta. You know what I mean? You don't order something, because some restaurants will, you might have a Chinese restaurant, which will do a lasagna. Does that happen?
We've all come across that.
Well, to be honest, that's the point I'm making. You don't come across those, and there's a very good reason for it, which is...
Well, you sort of do, though. Often in Chinese restaurants, they'll have the English menu, which I've never seen anyone order from, but it'll just be like egg on toast and stuff.
Well,
like that.
Well, exactly. There you go. I don't think you often get those in Chinese restaurants, do you?
Have you not seen this, Mike?
I have seen this, and it's hard to tell whether it's to accommodate families with very picky children or if it's a slur against a nation.
Yeah.
From another nation that has far more sophisticated food culture.
But exactly. I think ordering that would be a mistake, wouldn't it? So the first thing is you focus on what they do. So you don't go to a chicken restaurant and order beef. For example,
you don't go to an ice cream van and order beef.
Exactly. You don't go to a personal trainer and order beef. Actually, you do. Anyway. So the other rule that I have is, on the one hand, it's good to try things that are new that you haven't tried before. On the other hand, you can't beat a trusty old favourite. Never lets you down. Mm-hmm. So those are contradictory in a way, but. That's where we find ourselves. We find ourselves in the teeth of that dilemma quite a lot, don't we? Mm. I mean, feel free for either of you to chip in and help me out with some thoughts at any point.
You can't start doing that after 9 series, Henry.
but the other one is tread carefully through the minefield, also known as the specials.
The specials, right, is basically somebody's bought too many muscles.
Yeah.
They're going to go off in a matter of hours, and they need to get them out the door.
So you think you're both cynical about the specials. Rather, I've always imagined the specials that they've been out foraging that very day. They've been in the woods.
No.
Finding curious mushrooms, and they've literally just shot that trout out of the sea with a harpoon.
No, they've been to an industrial estate where some bloke has gone, I'll sell you this ton of trout. It's going to go off in 6 hours.
Yeah.
But if you can sell it before then, you can just about do it legally.
Oh, no. Because I think I'm a bit of a sucker for the old chalkboard.
Yeah, well, I think you should be careful around the chalkboard. Well, I think we should definitely be careful around.
Mm.
And this is quite common, is a pizza place and a burger place, which has its one of the week. And it's quite a sort of hipsterish, cool places have this quite a lot, I've noticed. So it'll be a sourdough pizza place.
Mm.
So just to explain this to Mike, a pizza is a plate-shaped sort of flat dough.
That's failed to rise.
So
you can use it for animal feed.
You would compost it instantly if you saw you go, it's animal meal or it's compost. But which has had Italy, it's a boot shaped peninsula which extends into the Mediterranean, which is essentially the equivalent of the British Channel. but just a bit further down beyond the Darklands. and
soon, Mike, when I make my journey to Europe, which you've told me you will join me on, you'll be meeting a certain deposed royal family from northern Italy who are going to be big players in our lives, I think, in the next couple of years.
They're very much making a comeback, aren't they?
Just a big thumbs up to the House of Lombardy, if you're listening. Thanks for everything you've pledged.
Yeah, I don't really see why anyone would go further east than Gibraltar, frankly. You get your Mediterranean seas.
I think Britain is further east than Gibraltar.
They speak the right language. They've got a beach.
Red post boxes.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, so, the pizza places, they'll do a pizza of the week. So because you'll look through the standard pizza choices, and there'll be, but we'll try our pizza of the week, which is, as you say, bolognese. Bread, little bashed up bits of ceramic, the fountain pen, and that one. Realistically, it won't sound crazy, but it will. What will happen is so if there's two of you, if one of you has a standard pizza, so as we said, Diavolo, Lorraine, pepperoni. These are ancient pizzas. Yeah, they've been tried and tested. In the same way that a pebble will be smoothed by the sea.
So, yes. So a Hawaiian smooth.
It goes down smooth.
Well, a rock will be smoothed by for centuries and turned into a pebble, yeah? Mm-hmm. What you're trying to do with that pizza of the week, yeah? You're 2 years into this business, you're coming up with another pizza of the week, this is your 209th pizza of the week having to come up with. You're essentially trying to turn a rock into a pebble over the course of a morning. You can't do that. So essentially it won't work. It won't sound that radical. It'll be like lardons, sweet corn, cream, mushrooms and chives or something. It won't sound mad. It'll be like, I'll try that.
With the possibility of a fish finger.
The rumour of a fish finger. And it won't. It won't sound mad. You'll go, I'll try that. And you'll eat it and you'll go, of course, you idiot. You know, you've just thrown away the concept of coastal erosion, effectively, to use my metaphor.
Yeah, stick with that.
You can't just create a pebble overnight.
You've thrown away 2,000 years of history.
Exactly.
an affront to the Roman Empire, what you've done.
Yeah. It won't work. That's why there are essentially five or six basic pizza flavours. And that will happen with burgers as well. So there'll be burger of the week. It'll be, ferret.
Served by a ferret in a ferret. with a ferret jus.
And it costs two ferrets.
Yeah. And you eat it up your trousers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but generally what will happen is you'll, again, it's that, it's that, it's that conflict, isn't it, between innovation and sticking with what works. I can't remember what we're talking about. Wait, are we talking about Ben? Oh, yes, sorry.
I basically said what you said, but then you said it again, but took about 20 minutes to do so.
Welcome to Three Bean Salad.
Let's turn on the bean machine.
You betcha.
Let's do it.
This week's topic, as sent in by Dedan Jar Jonker, the rheumatic Dutchman.
Oh, thank you.
Okay.
This week's topic is tea.
Nice.
Lifeblood of the nation.
Yes.
I find all of the chat around tea quite gross.
Gross?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go for dull, but you've gone for gross. What's gross about tea?
Well, the thing is with Britain, Mike, is that whatever happens, there can be bombs raining from the sky, there can be plague, there can be fire, but at the end of the day, we'll always have a lovely cup of tea. Fuck off!
Ah, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
I'll tell you what. You can blow up my legs, you can shoot my face off, you can shit on my cat. But as long as I've got a nice cup of tea, then I'll have a cup of tea. Yeah.
Yeah, there's that. It's the kind of keep calm and carry on tea towel of drinks.
But you are also, Ben, you are immune to the restorative properties of tea.
Good point.
I don't drink tea at all.
Ben, is it?
No.
Whereas I drink gallons of the stuff.
But well, Ben is a non-hot drinker.
Not true.
No? Ah, sorry, you're a cocoa drinker.
Give me a boiling Bovril.
Or any other brand of hoof juice.
No, I do. I drink a lot of hot chocolate.
Yes,
you but do, I'm not a tea or coffee drinker.
Do you Horlicks?
I've never Horlicksed. No. I'm not really sure what it is. Is it malty?
I was given Horlicks once, and I found it to be absolutely foul.
What is it?
I think it is malty. It felt like a punishment drink. I think it was the Huel of its day.
Oh,
I'm not quite sure. It's supposed to be warm and comforting.
Yeah.
Maybe it was poorly served. It was very grainy. Very.
Oh, is it a brand? Is it a brand, Horlicks?
Yeah.
What is it?
But I think it's a brand that, of just one thing that no one else makes, you know?
It's a mono brand.
It's not like it's like there's tea and there's Yorkshire tea and there's PG Tips tea.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just Horlicks does Horlicks.
Yeah, so I don't drink tea at all, which puts me into a category of suspicion for a lot of people, I think.
Mm.
Yeah.
It would be the sort of thing that would foil a foreign spy in a time of war.
Ah, yes.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Who are you working for, Benjamin?
We know for a fact he can't be working for the Allies.
He's with the Vanuatu and Intelligence Services.
Rumbled! And then loads of, like, tropical fruit falls out of my hat.
See, Tim. Quick stop before he chews on the poison guava.
What's that thing that sometimes you'd see people do in films or TV or something where, is this a thing where people drink tea out of a tea cup? Not cup, saucer.
Yes, tea cup, Ben. It's called drinking tea.
No, I know that.
For God's sake.
You know when people drink out of a saucer?
Yes.
Is that a thing?
Spilt tea from the saucer.
Yeah.
Yes, but I don't know if that was, I don't know what that is. So I don't know if that was supposed to be hugely uncouth or so uncouth that you only did it if you were either uncouth or high echelon royal.
Yeah.
And then it was accepted. Yeah. I've never understood was it a willful eccentricity, you know, an affectation? Yeah. I don't know.
Because tea obviously has a huge amount of etiquette around it, doesn't it?
Well, that's what Ben is missing out on, of course. It's the ritual.
The ritual.
It's just a drink. It's
the ritual,
it's a
Ben.
Ritual.
The ritual. You pull a mug off your kitchen shelf.
People come together.
You stick a PG Tips in it. You squash the tea bag against the side of the mug. Mm-hmm. It seeps out a hot brown sort of sweat, which adds to the layers of of brown sort of film that you can now never wash off those mugs. It's a deep, deep, deep stain.
You acknowledge the unity of your species, and yet you celebrate the individualism by levels of milk, sugar requirements.
Oh, God, it's so tedious. This is like, you know, I guess we've all worked in offices at some point in our lives. There's always all that nonsense people going about getting the colour of their tea right, and like, fuck me.
If it don't look like Chris, don't bother.
Also, people calling it builder's tea fucks me off.
Everything about it seems to annoy you, Ben.
It really annoys me. How do you take yours?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to sound pretentious, but ever since I drank tea in Vietnam...
Oh, no.
Go on, try and not sound pretentious now.
ever since a trip to Vietnam, I stopped having milk in my tea after that, because you don't really taste the tea, you taste the milk. So I like a black tea, but not too dark. Sometimes I will have a bit of milk in the tea, depending on my social situation or who's around me. I don't want to stand out. Or see, because again, tea is somewhere...
Again, because of the ritual.
Because of the ritual, Ben. This is what you're missing out on, the ritual. When you take that hot tea bag and you chuck it in the sink, the ritual...
And it stays there for up to 3 or 4 days.
Ben. And the ritual of when you do the washing up and there's bits of... you're trying to wash up the dishes and plates and pans, but there's about 50 tea bags just sort of floating around somewhere in that murky liquid. The ritual, Ben.
The bag of one of them has become compromised and there are
leaves. The bag has become compromised.
There's the side of the sink and it's blocking the sink.
There's leaves clumping around the sinkhole. The ritual, Ben.
Wonderful ritual.
Of chucking that tea bag, taking those tea bags, a big handful of them, and squishing that brown liquid out of them, and then dumping them into your pedal bin.
And then you're lying on your back in a dental hygienist, and they're using a kind of industrial buffer to try and get off the deep tannin stains on all of your teeth.
The ritual, Ben.
The ritual of that.
so you can rebuild that wall anew, that wall of brown across your teeth.
The ritual, when the dentist asks their assistant to hand them the hard ply metal brush for this one, we're going to need. We're going to need the beast, the big boy, that's right. The one they used to clean tank wheels, that's the one.
They're going to need the nano dynamite. They're going to have to rig your gnashes up with small explosives.
That's right, we're going to have to
just get a crack.
We're going to have to get a start. We're going to have to blow our way through the outer inches of tea enamel. It's enamelized tea. It's harder than any commercially available bathroom tile.
And it represents the metal of the nation.
That's right.
Do you understand?
Ben. That's right.
Because that's what Spitfires was made from, wasn't it? Was ground up tea. Teeth.
That's right.
Of tea drinkers.
Also, the ritual, Ben.
The ritual.
You'll never know the ritual of when you're in an antique shop or perhaps a Muji. And Mike, I'm not even going to try and explain Muji to you. It'd literally be impossible.
You'd have to explain what Japan is first.
Yeah, exactly. Which means I have to explain what the Pacific is. It's literally not worth it.
The fact that the world is round.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Steady on.
The ritual, Ben. The ritual of deciding one day to buy a little teapot, a set of fresh tea leaves. I'm actually going to make real tea from now on. Once. The ritual of seeing that teapot every couple of weeks and you're sort of moping around the kitchen and reminding you of the fact that you never really stick to anything properly, do you? Even something as simple as just making a freaking pot of tea, you freaking idiot. Yeah, reach for another PG tips, squash it against the side of the mug. It's no more than you deserve. You disgust me.
And that's all part of the ritual.
It's the ritual, Ben.
Did the family not embrace tea, Ben?
Both my parents drink a lot of tea.
So you're a real outlier.
Yeah, both my sisters drink tea.
Mm. Is this your biggest naysay of all time?
Oh, God, that's a good point. It's a pretty extreme naysay, that.
You're essentially eschewing the cornerstone of British culture.
Well, I also don't pay tax.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah. Yeah.
But that's because of your unusual status that you're technically registered as a randomizing topic generator, rather than as a
that's right
as a human man.
Yeah,
yeah, and I'm listed on Company's House as a theme park.
Yeah,
a loss making theme park. Yeah. No, of course I do pay my tax. Thing is, you two think of yourself as patriotic Brits,
yeah,
drinking a tea.
Yeah, correct.
Whereas
yeah,
I, on a daily basis, am drinking what we had in Britain before the tea arrived. Yes, I'm drinking a weak mead every morning.
A weak breakfast mead.
Then a slightly stronger lunchtime mead, and then an absolutely catastrophic nighttime mead, which then knocks me out until the following morning.
I was having some throat pains, and I talked to my GP about it, and she asked me about my habits, and I said that I do like pouring very, very hot liquid down my throat.
Directly from the kettle?
Not straight from the kettle, but I really like a tea hot, 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 hot. And if it's not scorchingly hot, I'll get it straight in the microwave and I'll get it bang hot again. I like it top, top temp. It's practically turning into steam on my tongue. That's how I like it. Hot, hot,
so
hot,
I think
hot,
this
hot
is
tea.
Part of why I don't like tea.
Sorry?
Which is that it's kind of one step away from someone throwing a glass of hot water, boiling water in your face.
Yes, exactly.
Prison style.
It's a channeled form of self-inflicted prison attack. That's what I'm doing, yeah. That's exactly it, Ben.
And some of us need that to stay sharp.
And it's the ritual. Now, no, but when I said that to my GP, she genuinely, I don't know if you've ever had this, you've had a GP laugh at you. And then she said, just give me a moment. and I gave her some time. She sort of collected herself, and then she said, "I think you should stop pouring very, very hot liquids down your throat." And that was her advice. So it was in a case where the cure was pretty much the same as the problem, but just with a knot in front of it, or with a don't.
And it's also the last thing you wanted to hear.
Yeah,
I had exactly. A Swiss GP laugh at me last week.
Really?
Hmm. Went for a walk. Mm-hmm. In Switzerland, a wooded area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, look, a charming little red squirrel.
Lovely.
Oh, look, another charming little red squirrel. Oh, look, another one. And another, what the fuck? And another one.
Oh, shit.
There's so many of these. Oh. There's literally a thousand of these red squirrels. Oh.
Did you have a sort of Matrix moment of like, is this reality or am I...
I did.
Is reality made up of a sort of pixels, and each pixel is a tiny red squirrel?
Are you in the squirrel tricks? The squirrels have taken over. And because actually, everyone—if you wanted to make humanity become totally docile—you
get them addicted to the stuff called tea. Am I right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so it was amazing. I'd never seen so many squirrels in one place.
Mm. I've never seen a red squirrel. That's really exciting to see a red squirrel. Lovely.
Yeah, it was great. And then some people were feeding the red squirrels out of their hand and giving them nuts. And I thought, these squirrels seem very tame and nice. And then one looked at me with like a look of pure malevolence. Mm. And long story short, loads of squirrels ran up my legs. Thinking that I had food in my pocket, I think, and maybe about five squirrels all like scratching at my legs, drawing blood, like really, really horrible.
Did you have food in your pockets?
No, no. I had a bag of paprika crisps in my backpack.
Okay, that might be it.
Mm-hmm.
Like anyone on holiday in Europe would always have, wouldn't they? Because you'd always end up buying crisps when you're on holiday in Europe, and there will always be
it's basically a visa. Yeah.
There will always be a flavour like paprika. Yeah.
So it was a bit terrifying, and not very nice, but a bit quite weird. And then I sort of ran away, and then they were following me.
Seriously, that sounds like a nightmare.
Into downtown Zurich,
and everywhere I turned, there were more squirrels coming out of the trees and like. It was like the birds or something.
But really, really cute. But menacing at the same time.
I did put a video on, I think, my Instagram or Twitter or something of me being attacked by a squirrel, of it jumping into my crotch.
I'd like to see that. I haven't seen that.
Shall I send it to you now, Mike?
Yes, please.
Okay, I've just sent it.
Okay, got it.
There we go.
They're very cute, aren't they?
Oh, they're rather sweet.
Whoa.
Man alive, when the mood changes, it changes quick. Right? One second he's just having a little nuzzle on your toes, and he shoots up your leg like he's a cruise missile.
Adorable cruise missile.
With a thirst for Welsh balls.
An adorable bollock-bound cruise missile.
Because let's make no mistake, that's what those squirrels were after. I mean, we've been tiptoeing around it, haven't we? But that's what they were after.
Nuts.
My Habsburg seed.
Your Prussian future.
Anyway, so that happened. That happened like loads of times in a row.
It's eerie, isn't it? When nature turns on you like that.
When nature works out that you've coated your bollocks in crushed pistachios.
Yeah. That's right. Mm. Yeah.
Tax.
Because the reason, of course, that you've come to Switzerland is to get the deluxe.
You want the Nougat as well.
You've had is to get the Nougat.
Yeah, so then I can go and present them at Ferrero Rocher HQ and become the CEO.
Yeah.
So the following day, I woke up and...
You'd grown a tail. Oh. And you were fighting crime.
You were really good at climbing trees.
So I woke up and they were sort of lacerated a bit more than I thought maybe previously. I thought, oh, okay. I walked past a pharmacist. I thought I'd go in there and see, and just show it to the pharmacist and say, like, do I need to do anything about this?
Show what?
What was it? What were we talking?
Just scratched legs.
Mm-hmm. Did you, I'm sorry. You can't toss off this bit of the story, Ben. Did you have to Google Translate? My legs have been attacked by squirrels.
Well, this is
into
where we
Swiss
get
German. Because
this is where we get closer and closer to the GP laughing at me.
Okay, yeah.
So, pharmacist says maybe you should see a doctor because of Tolwart.
Oh God, is this an embarrassing case if I didn't even come in about the Tolwart? I'd always assumed that was just that was just a normal rectal protuberance. I'd assumed it was. I thought we all had a Tolwart. Oh no.
This is rabies, is it?
I popped it into Google Translate. Rabies came up.
It's never what you want to come out of Google Translate, is it, rabies? It's never what you're looking for. Especially on a holiday. Not holiday rabies. I don't even have my support network around me for these rabies.
Sure, rabies on a Monday morning at work.
Yeah, we've all been there, but at least it's not on my...
Give me rabies, I'll have a bit of a dose of rabies.
Exactly, frankly. Froth at the mouth, but catch up on some home admin. Do you know what I mean?
Mine's rabies and milk and two sugars, please. Just build as rabies. What I realised was, the problem with rabies, amongst many... is that once its head has been raised above the parapet, nobody really wants to give you the advice, oh, don't worry about it, it's probably fine. Even though that is true.
Yeah.
Once it's in the conversation, I don't think anyone on earth wants to be the person who says to someone, yeah, don't worry about that, you haven't got rabies, and then they get rabies, because that would be the ultimate kind of fuck up. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. So,
yeah.
Because it's like 100% death, isn't it? It's like the worst possible way out.
Well, they don't want to be the one that once you've got rabies and you realise what's happened, Ben, that you then go back for a vengeful rabies attack.
Rabid spree.
A rabid spree, yeah. At that point on all fours and behaving exactly like a reckless Doberman.
Like a rabid squirrel.
Yeah, slash squirrel.
I texted my sister. She's a GP. Mm-hmm. But she's in that same world of going, well, I don't want to be the person that tells you...
She can't really diagnose you over text from 1,000 miles away.
You can't really froth in the form of text, can you? There's no such thing as...
We're not there yet, no.
So anyway, I ended up going to the doctor.
That's quite a thing to organise. How do you even organise going to a doctor in Switzerland on holiday? I suppose, how do you do it?
It sort of helps that in Switzerland, I think all medical care is 100% privatised, like in America. So it's incredibly expensive, but it does mean that you can just see a GP like at the drop of a hat.
Right, okay.
Obviously, I had to make sure I didn't walk into Dignitas by mistake. Oh,
hey, nice stuff.
Lovely stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, also, you didn't have, I hope you didn't have Swiss flu. That's one where a small wooden bird springs out of your ass on the hour, every hour. Hello, am I right? Hey, Swiss flu. Wait, bing bong. Wait, bing. All right.
So anyway, yeah. I went in. Doctor was quite good fun.
Yeah.
He said, yes, we must take this seriously. I'm going to call Swiss Rabies Control.
Ooh.
You're experiencing...
But also nerve-wracking.
Pretty swish healthcare.
So he essentially rings up a kind of hotline.
Yeah.
And then he's speaking in what I assume is Swiss German. And the tenor of the conversation is very much... What a fucking idiot. This fucking guy is just coming in, he's been bitten by a fucking squirrel and thinks he's got rabies. Let's just talk for a minute or so it seems like I'm asking you about whether he needs to have the shot or not, but if we keep this going, it's going to cost another 100 quid. Come on.
We can rinse this guy so hard. His story's got more holes in it than one of our cheeses. It's funny. I also enjoy the Swiss cheese jokes, even though I'm Swiss. Me too. I love the Swiss jokes. Cuckoo. Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Anyway, he gets off the phone and he says, you do not need the Tollwut jab. It would only be possible if the squirrel had been bitten by a bat.
Okay.
And I think the likelihood of a squirrel being bitten by a bat and then the squirrel biting you is very small. And so, yeah. Then he gave me a tetanus injection and I was on my way.
Very good. Did you go back to see if that squirrel had any bite marks on it?
To see if it had been batted?
Mm.
I did not. And then on the way out, you know, you've got that little, we used to have a card called the EHIC card, which is what would get you like free healthcare in Europe.
Yeah.
And then obviously we're no longer in the EU. So that's been replaced by something called the GHIC card, mm-hmm. the Global Health Insurance card. Have you got one of these?
I don't know.
It's deeply embarrassing because it's got a huge Union Jack on it.
Oh God.
It's like a really like.
It's a jingoistic piece of stationery.
Yeah, exactly. And I thought, right, I think I'm going to take this. So I got it out and started waving it at the receptionist. She didn't speak very good English, trying not to pay for this. And she just went, no, 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 no. And I handed over my debit card.
Utterly meaningless.
Yeah, exactly.
The king demands that you grant this man healthcare in all eventualities and in all locations and free passage through your realm. No. Guest stuffed.
Yeah. So, absolutely pathetic stuff from BP. You have to conclude. It's time to read your emails, but first, we've had a version of our email jingle sent in by James from Texas.
Crumbs. Thank you, James from Texas.
Excellent.
Exciting.
I assume he means the state rather than the band.
I'll take it either way.
They're back together. They're doing Glastonbury this year, I believe, Texas. Yeah.
Mm.
James writes, Dear Beans, attached is a cover of your wonderful email jingle that I whipped up on my banjo.
Yes.
Before you think of me as some sort of troubadour gallivanting across the open prairie with my six-shooter at my hip and my five-string at my back, let it be known that I recorded this before my work-from-home job in finance.
I preferred the first image.
So, let's give it a listen.
When you send an email, you must give thanks to the post folk who've come before me.
Howdy, shopkeep. Did the Wells Fargo man bring me any parcels? Just some old shit.
When you send an email, this represents progress. Like a robot shoeing a horse.
Give me your hoof. Got the varmint. Damn robots.
Oh, that was lush.
Really nice. Lovely finger work.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had to wonder if I was listening to a bit of a Scruggs style claw hammer there. Henry, is that what you were about to...
For fuck's sake. Come on, mate. Please. Just let it go.
Just
let it go by, Mike. good finger work. That's enough. Yeah, a response to music on an emotional level. Yeah, not on a sort of technocratic level. Yeah.
When you said nice finger work, it sounded very generic as a compliment.
Yes, effectively it was.
Which fingers are you talking about? Is picking hand, is fretting hand, or what?
The hand that human beings use to hold themselves and each other.
The king's hand.
there's no way Prince Charles could play the banjo with those fingers. There's no way he could do fretwork as complex as that.
It would just sound like the sound if you dropped a packet of sausages onto a drum with some nails on top.
Well, listen, James the Texan, thank you for that. That was excellent.
Yeah, thank you, James.
Thanks, James.
Okay, let's get into some emails. I've not done a very good job. I normally sort of go through them and...
Ben, you are recovering from a squirrel attack, Ben. Do not...
Yeah, cut yourself some slack.
Don't push yourself.
Okay, let's start with the bollocking then. Why not?
Okay.
This is Listener Bollocking of the Week.
Accessing Listener Bollocking. Bollocking loading. Bollocking loaded.
Liam emails, this is a turbo concise bollock.
Ooh.
You said Hans Blix is dead. He is not. Bollocking delivered.
Bollocking accepted. Did we blitz Blix?
I think it was me that said Hans. I was pretty sure that Hans Blix was dead.
Yeah.
Turns out I'm wrong.
He is a Swedish diplomat. I'm looking on Wikipedia.
How old is he?
Born in 1928, so 100 minus 8, that's 92.
It's not 2020.
Yeah. Are you asking now? You're for now? You didn't say when you were asking for.
Oh, yeah, sorry. For now. I should have made that clear. Yeah, yeah.
At the time of recording, yeah, yeah. At the time of transmission, there's loads of... But I can tell you from his Wikipedia page, which links to his website, that he is now a wedding DJ. And it says here...
Weapons of Mass Disco.
It says here, Weapons of Mass Disco. I couldn't find the WMDs.
But what I did find was The Groove.
I did find The Groove, and I can't get rid of it.
What are you talking about? Is there actually somebody called Hans Blix running a disco? Or
you know what? I was just having a bit of fun.
bit less of that, please, Henry.
Sorry. He
Berlusconi died today.
Has he?
Yeah, this morning.
It won't stop him running for president.
Oh, no. Of course not. we've never done a sort of news flash, have we, on Three Bean Salad?
Well, this doesn't come out for 2 days, does it?
Yeah. So, if you want to predict a news flash for 2 days' time, we might get it right.
Thousands, and we are hearing reports of thousands. In fact, tens of thousands of red squirrels are attacking Britain through the Channel Tunnel.
The squirrels are calling it Operation Unfinished Business.
Dr. Jacob Rollinson emails, Dear Beans, I mark a milestone today on the 23rd of May 2023. Mm-hmm. As of yesterday, I finally finished my stock of inferior Christmas 2022 chutneys.
Ooh.
This morning, I return to the sweet vinegary bosom of Branson Pickle. Celebrate me, Dr. Jacob.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, Dr. Jacob.
You made it, Jacob.
You made it back to the home of Branston. The thick, gloopy, tart sludge.
It's always waiting for you, the unfinished jar of it. When other chutneys run low, when family-made chutneys let you down.
Mm-hmm. Abandoned for months. Has it gone off? Who can tell? Doesn't matter.
The point is, don't ask when it's off. It already is. It's off at the point of purchase. That's its unique guarantee. You cannot go off when you already are.
Best before. Branston's guarantee.
Thank you for all of your emails. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so by sending us an email to 3beansaladpod@gmail.com.
Yes, please.
It's time.
patreon.com/3beansalad. If you would like to listen to these episodes without adverts, or you would like to listen to our monthly bonus episode, which is always very good, you can join up on our Patreon at patreon.com/3beansalad. And if you sign up at the Sean Bean tier, you get a shout out from Mike in the Sean Bean Lounge. And Mike was there last night, wasn't he?
I was indeed.
And it's not all fun and games, is it, Mike, at the Sean Bean Lounge?
Because it can't be.
It was the annual June deep clean of the lounge.
It was. It was indeed. Thank you, Ben. And here's my report.
There was a record attendance for this year's annual June deep clean of the Sean Bean Lounge, perhaps because of community spirit, perhaps because John Hemingway had spread the word that it was Sean Bean himself who was to be deep cleaned. Luckily for Sean Bean, he'd already been sandblasted earlier that day by Shelley Ainsley and Alan using the brand new non-stick Expunginator 5000. Available from the 3 Bean online merchandise stall for just $43.99. Sean Bean therefore was safely gleaming and the much-needed work on the lounge began apace. Katie Eager, John and Thomas A. literally hit the ground running with their anti-carpet stained shoes. Craig Butters and Craig Brown, or as they're better known, the two blokes with the same initials, dewormed the Necronicon Quiet Zone. Peter Gillam picked a prawn up off the floor but didn't know what to do with it because it was still alive. Emma Bremner-Leiteau and Peter Cran, on the other hand, used a nanomop to wash a moth, which Madeleine Bjolok then drove to Portsmouth Docks for Damaris to row it to the island of Sark, where it was rehoused in Sean Bean's sanctuary for fallen moths. Neil Screeton and William Reimer took care of the pube berg using Anna Peachy's homemade fragmentation grenades, Suze deloused Bradford Peluso, causing Cade Russell to be loused by the overflow, leading Magenta to fumigate Cade with a crate of Jazz's sulfural fluoride that Jazz had been saving especially to deal with Dylan Hervé's Edelman's termites as a favour to Justin Reeves, whose most recent survey of Dylan had found him to be structurally unsound. Adam Brackman flushed the conservatory, Philly Espley shook out the inflatable casino, and Jack Knowles dredged the subaquatic disco cage and was able to return Meta the Panda, Jade Miller and Chad Sheeb to their families. Dan Hill found Craig Patterson's sofa down the back of a sofa, and Charlie Owen, Gregory John and Jenny Wilde were so distracted trying to untangle a drawer full of old headphones that they were incapacitated and wrapped by Sean Bean's 50-kilo crossbreed tarantula mastiff for consumption at a later date. Meanwhile, Serena Jasudason exfoliated the food court, John Hayden deodorised the Hyundai Memorial Suite, Frank Popham was on grout licking, Christian Dye self-varnished, Mauna Cannon, Matthew Gamble and Kieran Bradley gave a presentation summarising the contents of 8 metric tons of unread Sunday supplements, and Catherine Atkins drank a yop that was nearly out of date. The Sean Bean Lounge was left so clean and shiny you could see your reflection in its shoes. Thanks all.
Okay, to see us out, a version of our theme tune as made by one of you lot, the listeners. This one's from Gentori Fasuto. Gentori writes, sentient found ham based artificial intelligence was trained to rewrite the 3 Bean Salad theme tune. The results were, well, let's put it this way. The only thing keeping me from spending the rest of my life in a dungeon under The Hague for crimes against humanity is the sophisticated VPN I've employed, also crafted from oak-aged sentient ham. Got no idea what gentleman's talking about. Solely for research purposes and not in any way for human consumption, I feel my duty is to leak 300,000 bean salad and return to my bunker and pray for forgiveness for the thing I have unleashed. Godspeed.
Crumbs. Well, I'm excited. It's a big build-up.
I don't comprehend what's happened here, but we will now listen to it. Thank you, Gentori. Thank you to everyone for listening.
Thank you. Well,
thank you. Bye. Bye. Bye.
So Patreon is the place you can listen to the rest of the episode. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Cheerio.